Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, and I'd like to read four verses that are connected. Three of them are one after the other, and then the other one is found in verse 13. But verses 6, 7, 8, and 13 of the book of Malachi chapter 1. As we continue our study here, we find over and over that the Lord certainly does make a difference between Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Verse 6 of this passage of Scripture, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto the priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And then would you drop down to verse 13. Ye say also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which is torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this in your land, saith the Lord. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we must conclude that these priests were not doing these great acts against Almighty God, not because of lack of instructions. These folks had been instructed since their very youth about what to do. They were doing this not because of lack of instructions. In the Old Testament, on the subject of what was to make a proper sacrifice, but because they really didn't care. Now, sinners do not believe God's word, because it is not explained enough, or the words are not defined well enough, or because the preacher is not educated enough. Sinners do not believe the word of God because of the hardness of their heart. And that's brought out over in the book of Romans. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8 for just one verse of Scripture that covers so much when it comes to dealing with why these folks, these priests, did not offer the proper sacrifice, why they did not keep the law, at least in this area. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, it was not because of lack of instructions that these folks were offering the sacrifices that they were offering. They were offering the blind, the lame, the halt, and the Lord, through his prophet, through his preacher, Malachi, he brings it to their attention. He points this out to them. We find that in the Old Testament, there are numbers of times in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers that the instructions of what to offer was explicit. They were to offer that which was without blame, without spot, without any of those outside imperfections. Now, we realize that these folks, these priests, from the very beginning, when we look at what Abraham offered, when we look at what was given as the Passover, we find that they could only observe what was on the outside. Now, when we find what this all pointed to, we can examine his heart and we find him as pure as God, because he is God, the Lord Jesus. But the Scriptures teach us and tell us and share with those folks so long ago as they were priests Would you turn with me to the book of Numbers? I'd like to read just a few verses. Six times in the book of Numbers it mentions without spot when speaking of the sacrifice. And here in the book of Numbers, chapter 28, without spot, there was not to be a blemish or a spot on these sacrifices. And the Lord is bringing it up through Malachi to these priests that what they were offering and how horrific it was and how terrible. It wasn't because they had lack of instructions. It's just they did not care what they were doing. Here in the book of Numbers, chapter 28 and verse 3, "And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. Two lambs without spot." It was explicit, and they understood these words. It wasn't because they did not understand the definition of without spot. It was because they had no heart for it. We also find, as we go through the scriptures, that 39 times in the Old Testament the words without blemish are used, and most of them are found in either Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers. And I'd like to read there in the book of Exodus chapter 12, when the Passover was instituted, that there was explicit instructions. And those folks did not have a problem with the definition. They had a problem with God. The book of Exodus chapter 12. Back here in the book of Exodus chapter 12, we find the institution of the Passover. This Passover was to be carried out year by year on an appointed date. 10th day of the month, they were to separate this sacrifice, and 14th day of the month, they were to slay it and have a Passover. Now, we find, I believe there's twice, and I was going to have that in our lesson tonight, but I believe it's twice that in the scriptures that the priests and the people were not prepared to take it on the proper time. God said, move it. We'll have it here. But he never ever allowed them to offer a broken, a halt, a lame sacrifice. They did not come to God and say, well, that's all we have. They offered without spot and without blemish when they were following the instructions of God. Now, it might be a month late, but the sacrifice was to be appropriate. Here in the book of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, we find these instructions given, and these priests that Malachi is writing to, this is their textbook. This is what they read. This is what was read to them. And these priests, in preparation for what they were to do, were given the facts about what God required out of the scriptures. And when it came time for them to participate in the priesthood and offer these sacrifices, we find them not following the instructions. And God was upset about it. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, the scripture says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats." He gave liberty, sheep or goats, but the rest was explicit. A lamb of the first year without spot. Without blemish. Now, I don't know. Well, I do know. 17 verses, different verses in the book of Leviticus. And when we went through the book of Leviticus, we noticed this time after time after time, that when there were specific offerings, sacrifices to be offered, the instructions on the first part of that offering was always the same. Without blemish. Without blemish. No exception, because these sacrifices were pointing in a direction. These sacrifices were pointing to a person. And when we get wrong on this, we are saying that the end result, the one that is pointing to, is also corrupt, blind, halt, lame. So this is the problem. Leviticus, join me in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3. Right there, at the very beginning of that study that we made of the book of Leviticus, we had this verse of scripture come up. The very first offering that was made out of these five that were listed here in the first seven chapters, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. There were some inspection to be taken care of. And it wasn't, they weren't to offer that which they could not sell. That's what we're having over here. Don't offer, you offer the very best. You offer the best of the herd. You offer the male without blemish. As it goes on to say, without blemish, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And time again, as we go through the book of Leviticus, these words are again brought up that it should be, must be. We cannot alter on this point. We want the fulfillment of this shadow, of this type, to point to Christ. And we'll find that verse over in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, that that's what it pointed to. Well, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Ezekiel, we have those verses of Scripture time and time again. So the textbook was there, and they had a copy of it, and they were instructed out of it. And then, when it came time to offer the sacrifices, it was much like them saying, we'll not have this man rule over us. We'll do what we want to do. And natural man is accustomed to doing that. We'll do what we want to do. So they offered the lame, the blind, the halt. And God brings it up through this man Malachi, this preacher. Now, it wasn't an easy task that God gave Malachi to do, to go out and point the very fact, bring up the truth before these folks that were priests. He's just a preacher. They're the priests. And yet he is given the commission by Almighty God, the burden of God, to go to these guys, to these priests, and tell them, put it on record, in writing, before them, that you're doing this wrongly. Now I want to go clear over to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we find here, this is why, the why of why they're to offer that which was without blemish and without spot. This is the why. Now, believers in the Old Testament understood the why. Believers in the age between the Old and the New Testament, they knew why. Believers during the time of Christ, they knew why. Now, it's written down for us that we can rejoice in it, and it's found here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, the Scriptures share with us here that we're not redeemed. Now, we've mentioned in the past that this word redeem or redemption has the implications, or the beginning of that word is buying someone out of slavery. Redeeming them. They are in slavery. I have the wherewithal to bring them out of slavery. Well, in 1 Peter here, chapter 1 and verse 18, the Apostle Peter brings up, as he's led by the Holy Spirit to write, that we're not bought out of slavery physically. That's not the issue. Anybody that had some wherewithal could buy a slave, could redeem them, and give them the paper of freedom. We will make you a free person, male or female, by buying you out of slavery. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. That was the common redemption price. Silver and gold. All right, slaves, for $20 worth of gold, $20 worth of silver, we can buy them out of slavery. He says, I want you to know, I'm going on record. The Holy Spirit went on record. This is not how God saves his people. This is not how he redeems his people. And all of those Old Testament sacrifices pointed to this one person and to this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now, we wouldn't think silver and gold are all that corruptible, but they are. Value rises and falls. I just heard today that in 2 years, 5 years, gold's going to be at $5,000 an ounce. You know, they're trying to get me to buy some. It rises and falls, rises and falls. It's corruptible. But he goes on. But this is what we are. This is who we are redeemed by. but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot. Excuse me, without blemish and without spot. Amen. That's our Redeemer. That's how we are redeemed, and that is the redemption price, and it far surpasses the corruptible silver and gold. This is God's required redemptive price, and that's the blood of Christ. The priests had grown dull, and they had become so familiarized by their dereliction of duty that they saw no wrong or violation of the law. That's sad. Now, there's a great difference between seeing no wrong in violating the law and knowing that we have violated the law and yet have a substitute that was perfect in every way, and he took care of the redemptive price, our substitute who kept God's law completely. And this is what I found interesting as a thought came in, without effort. Every time we try to keep the law, it's a lot of effort. Boy, it's work to try to, and we can't keep it. Work, work, work. Can't keep it, can't keep it. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, as the righteous Son of God, kept the law perfectly, and there was no effort to it. He is the holy, harmless Son of God. He did it gladly, who for the joy that was set before him. So it wasn't a hard job for him. He could keep the law of God because he was God. He is God. So there's a great difference between those rascals that just said it doesn't matter and a whole group of folks that fall under the title of Jacob that says, I know it does matter, and I can't keep it, but I have a substitute who has, and he has imputed to me his righteousness. He has kept it with a heart of grace and with an eye of grace. Everything offered was offered with an eye to Christ. Those guys that knew grace saw in every offering that they made, they had an eye towards the Redeemer, towards the Messiah, towards the Christ. As under the law, whatever was blemished was rejected, so in the gospel, all offerings, but that one perfect offering of the Lord, are rejected. They're blemished. And that's why our works are no value. They're blemished by sin. Our prayers are blemished by sin. Our righteousness is blemished by sin. Our acts and all acts of the flesh are blemished by sin. That's why we're no better than those priests were if we say that I can offer this offering to God, because he'll just say it's blemished. And I only accept that which is without blemish and without spot. I only accept the Son. One pastor put it this way: who is it that is telling around that the Lord Jesus Christ ransomed some who are not ransomed? That's a big blemish. Telling people that he ransomed some who are not ransomed, redeemed some who are not actually redeemed, atoned for the sins of some whose sins are not covered, purge the sins of some whose sins have not been purged, because a substitute became a substitute for some who are yet must answer to God for themselves. Now that's the problem that these priests were bringing up. We don't have a Savior that can do what he said he would do because he's blemished. And when we say that Jesus Christ died for everybody that has ever lived, and then we read in the scriptures that people are going to an eternal hell, then he's a failure. Now that's worse than offering a blind lamb to say stuff like that. Who does this? The vast majority of preachers. From the very beginning. Not just our generation, not just the generation before us, or the generation that is following us, but almost all preachers have said, It doesn't matter. We can take these imperfect sacrifices and God will accept them. The priests in Malachi's day, when they were offering them, they were rebuked. Now, it's interesting that when they were rebuked, they said, when did we do that? When did we do that? Don't challenge us. We're above reproach. We got our DDs. We've got our. And he brought it up to them, and they said, where have we despised thy name? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Or wherein have we polluted thee? You know, when Esau's are rebuked, we're going to find this kind of challenge. What are you talking about? The Lord Jesus dealt with that kind of conversation through most of his ministry when he was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, that he'd bring up an error. And you know what they do? We're not born of fornication like you. We're above you. And that's what these folks thought about God. We're above that. We don't have to follow the instructions, even though it says over 60 times in the Old Testament, it must be without blemish, or it must be without spot. And if it isn't, it's not the proper sacrifice. And he brings it up here, and then he brings it right down to life. I owe you $500, and I'm going to give you German marks before the war. I have a 10,000 mark bill. My brother gave me. I went down to the bank. I wanted to trade it in and get some money out of it. Guess what? It's worthless. I'm going to give you this. It's all paid. Paid in full. I gave you more than you're expecting. I know it's 10,000 marks. And you're expecting $25. But don't worry about it. It's great. And it's worthless. And that's what these guys were doing. It was worthless sacrifices. They cared less, and they run their fingers at God. Now, what happens? What happens? Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, when they were reproved, when Esau's are reproved, they'll stand upon their own justification. And we find here in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'll get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. You know, Jacob's say, because of the long suffering of the Lord, it means salvation. God said he will come back at the appointed time, but as we're waiting for his return, he's going to save some more of his sheep. And when they're all saved, it's over. Now the Esau say, where's the promise of his coming? And since he's not done anything, I'll just do what I please. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done, and this is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, what could God have done with Adam and Eve? Executed judgment speedily. Because judgment against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Since God is such a patient, loving God, I can do what I want, and nothing will happen. Well, time will come when judgment will fall, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. So those priests, they're here, We're just doing what we've been doing all along. God's never done anything about it, and it went downhill from there. And we just think, boy, when is he going to do something? At the right time, he will do something. At the right time, he will have them pay. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. And there in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 3, excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, God doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. We'll just continue on, and that was the attitude of these priests. And God sends them a preacher to bring to their attention what they're doing and how wrong it is. And they, like sinners, recoiled against it and said, it's not me. When did we do that? Now, there's a big difference between Esau's when they are reproved and Jacob's when they are reproved. And I'm going to bring up a very heinous crime that's mentioned in the scriptures, and that is David. Terrible crime against society and against his family. Terrible. Would you turn over there with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7? A preacher came to him and brought it to his attention. Now, I read a commentary, and I didn't check it out, but he said it seemed to be that there's about a year between the time that he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed and all of that stuff, between then and when Nathan came. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when Nathan came to him, and brought this up, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7. Nathan said unto David, now Nathan brought up a parable of sorts and said, there was a guy here that was very wealthy, and there's another guy here that only had one little sheep. And the guy that was very wealthy took the little sheep, and he said, what should we do about him? He says, kill that man. Kill that man. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And then this preacher of righteousness, this man of God, told David, king. Can you imagine the trepidation? You know, Nathan had to get over that. Every preacher of the gospel has to get over that. These are my friends. What will they say? Get over it. Tell them the truth. And he went to David. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Drop down to verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, this is what will happen when a Jacob is reproved. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Those Esaus, even though they were priests and had been set aside with the garments, the training, and the textbook, and offered sacrifices unto God, in their mind at least, that were broken and halt and lamed and maimed, and the Lord through his prophet says, would you offer these things to your governor? Would you pay your taxes with these critters? Well, they'd say, of course not. But you've offered them to me, these broken, halt, and lame. And in effect, you have really said, my view of God is he is really weak and he needs all the help we can give him. Well, David said, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. You run into that and you say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. David's sin was put away. The Lord put away thy sin, would not charge it unto him, not impute it to him, or punish him for it, but freely and fully forgave it, cast it behind his back, and into the depths of the sea, cause it to pass from him, and never more bring it against him. Either all his sins are paid for at the cross, or we're going to be in terrible shape standing before God. Now, in just a few moments that I have left, would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah 44? Isaiah 44, in the passage that I would like you to mark, I'm not going to read it all, it's verses 9 through 20, but there's a long statement here about a man going out into the woods and cutting down a tree, and he splits part of it to keep himself warm by, and he splits part of it to bake his bread over and his cook his meat over, and then he takes a part of it and he gives it to an artisan and he has him carve out a god. Now, in verse 19, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 19, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say. We just say, can't they see that? We look at those priests and say, can't they understand? Sorry, they can't. Neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? And they were. And we say, whoa, we'd never do that. In our religion, we do. By God's grace, he keeps us from idols. But in religion, and the worst it can be, is being in a religion and saying, God has done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's worse than offering these blind and halt and maimed. Now, Psalm 115 has something to say about this, but our time is up. But here, cannot they figure out? No, they can't. The fall is so terrific. They should know the difference between blind, halt, and lamed, and that without blemish and without spot. And yet when they're called on it, when did we do that? We didn't do that. We're better than that. And then we find someone, David, king, doing a great crime against God and against society. And the Lord said, I've forgiven that man. I will not bring that up again. I will not punish him for it. because my son will be punished for it. These priests are brought before God by the Word of God and failed the test.